Last week we talked about the necessity for wall builders and wanting people of vision. As you responded to the message last Sunday night in committing to be people of vision, there are some truths that you need to know, some truths that every wall builder should know. Nehemiah chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse 1. And it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversaries said, "They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease." And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, "From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you." Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, "Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, "The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. But what place thereof ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us." So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise at the same time said I unto the people, "Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and labor on the day." So neither I, nor my brother, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. I think you're all familiar with the story. Nehemiah had been the king's cupbearer. He saw the need for the rebuilding of the walls in Jerusalem, got permission from the king to do that very thing. And as he began to build the walls and gather the people together to work on the wall and to rebuild, there came opposition. And we are all building walls. We're all wall builders. We build walls between the world and the things of God. We build walls that separate our lives from the ungodliness that surrounds us on every hand. We build walls that are designed to protect the people that we love and the things that we love from destruction and attack. Since this is true, and since we are involved in building, and we know that there's got opposition, there is always the tendency to be discouraged. And so tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about that. There are three primary principles taught in this passage, I believe, that contains biblical truth every wall builder should know. First of all, you don't have to look for trouble. It knows where to find you. You don't have to look for trouble. It knows where to find you. That is a truth that we all know too well. As Job said, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's just a natural part of life. There is going to be trouble. But when you would get involved in the things of God, then you're going to have more trouble than if you weren't involved, because the devil will fight you tooth and nail. He doesn't like it when we build and we do things for God. And so this is more true the more work you do for the Lord. You just realize it, that there will be trouble. You accept it. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't going to be blessing because of it, because there will be blessing. But if we are truly serving the Lord with dedication and with zeal, we can be assured that there will be trouble. Trouble will arise. And where will this trouble come from? Well, it will come from without, for one thing. As you look at this passage, you look at the chapter 4 in the book of Nehemiah, it came in the form of mockery. You can just hear the mockery in their voice. For example, in verse 2, it says, what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? It will also take the form of intimidation. Mockery, intimidation. Those who know the Lord, who do not know the Lord, rather, are usually the first ones to attack those who are trying to serve God and render service to the Lord. That's understandable, because they don't comprehend the things that we are trying to do. Somebody visiting this morning said to my wife, she said, I don't really know anything about the Assemblies of God. The only thing I know is that you people are in church all the time. Debbie said, well, we have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But people who aren't Christians don't understand why we want to be in church. They don't understand why we want to work for the Lord. Why would you give a tenth of your income to God? You know, why would you be so involved in working for the church? They don't understand. And people might ridicule. And sometimes those people, Dave's got a friend who tries to intimidate him and mock him. And it's part of the Christian life. And you know, a righteous life stands as a rebuke to a godless life. And that's why they attack you. So don't be surprised when attacks come from without. But surprisingly, attacks also come from within. It can come in the form of deception. It can, as we saw in the tribe of Judah, they were the first to complain about the work. And the reason why is apparent later on in the book of Nehemiah, and we will cover that later. But the truth is that they were making compromises. They were in bed with the enemy. And so people who are not living a righteous and godly life within the church will attack those who are trying to live righteous and godly lives and serve the Lord to the best of their ability. Those who live near and like the wicked are always among those who try to discourage the work and the workers of God. You know, it rarely surprises us when attacks come from without, but when it arises from within, it often leaves us devastated. Whether it takes the form of deception, with somebody living a hidden life of sin, or the form of discouragement, when somebody tries to discourage you, and usually they do that by questioning you, questioning your motives and goals. And that is the kind of criticism that hurts deeply and causes us to deviate from the course. So we should not be surprised, however, that that when there are people from within who criticize either. You know, there were people that Jesus had on his team that were ready to bring discouragement to Jesus if Jesus would let them. Peter could have brought discouragement to Jesus by some of the things that he said and that he did. Judas certainly could have brought discouragement to Jesus. Or how about Thomas? I will not believe unless I see. Jesus could have been discouraged by those whom he handpicked to work with him in the ministry. So I want you to know that trouble will come. Trouble will come from without. Trouble will come from within. Problems have no trouble finding you. Secondly, every wall builder needs to know that the best defense is a good offense. The best defense is a good offense. When trouble came, Nehemiah got on the offensive. He took matters into his own hands. He devised a great strategy for battle, and he encouraged 5 attitudes that need to be implemented in your life and in the church today. Okay? These are things that we can do to turn discouragement around so that we can become offensive instead of defensive. First of all, be prayerful. All of life, especially the battles we face in the realm of faith, should be bathed in the prayers of God's people. We're going to be building a church, literally building walls. Are we going to have trouble? I think we'll have some trouble. Is that trouble going to come from without and from within? Maybe some of both. There might be people that will try to bring discouragement to you. Some might mock. Some might try to intimidate. Some might try to cause us to deviate by deception. Even ones we might would be surprised to learn would be ones who would try to discourage us. So what can we do? Be prayerful. Be in an attitude, live a life of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Secondly, be alert. Prayer should always be coupled with watchfulness. Remember the story of Gideon, how he had 300 men? They were the ones chosen because they were always watchful. I'm not advocating being frightened to death, being paralyzed by fear, trying to find a devil behind every bush. But I am saying that we should be alert and be aware of the enemy's tactics. He is deceptive. He is a slippery foe. The Bible tells us that we are not to be ignorant of his devices. Paul encourages us to stand against the wiles of the devil. Jesus commanded his disciples to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation. See, the Christian needs to be alert. We need to be watching. Whatever form the devil may take, we need to be watching. Bobby Leach was a stuntman who survived a trip over Niagara Falls in 1910, but later slipped on an orange peel, hit his head, and died. So we need to be alert for the little things that try to trip us up. You know, sometimes we're so concerned, we're careful about the big tasks that we have to do, but the little things we just carelessly go by, and those are the things that could cause us to slip up. Things that could be dangerous to us. So we need to be alert for all things. Number 3, we need to be prepared. These people were to be prepared for war as much as they were for work. They were to be ready for either at a moment's notice. When we live our lives, we are to be ready to work for Jesus and be ready to war for him at the same time. That requires that we must put on the whole armor of God. As I was meditating on that one day, the word whole stuck out to me. We have to put on the whole armor of God. God wants us to wear the whole armor all the time. This is something that we can't take off. And we can't take off pieces now and then. Because you know, if you take off a piece of the armor, that's the area that Satan's going to attack you in. So you have to put on the whole armor to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Too many people are not willing to put on the whole armor all the time. They will want to put on the whole armor part of the time, or put on part of the armor part of the time or all the time, but not the whole armor all the time. Number four, be united. They were separated along the wall, and Nehemiah knew that distance between his people was a negative thing. Sadly, many are far from one another, and I'm not talking about location. I'm not talking about where you live. I'm talking about as far as the unity is concerned. Many are far from one another. To be in unity demands that we be in tune to the same person. It's really quite easy. When we are all in tune with Jesus, then we're all in tune with each other. See, don't focus, well, we got to all be in tune with each other. No, let's just focus on being in tune with Jesus. And when we're in tune with Jesus, then we are in tune with each other. You have 100 pianos all tuned to the same tuning fork, you'll have harmony. We all need to be tuned with the same tuning fork, tuned to Christ, having the mind of Christ. Then we'll have perfect harmony. And then number five, be determined. This was a people determined to do a work for God. They would not be sidetracked by attacks from within or from without. You notice there it says that these people had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. Now, when trouble arises, our determination should be greater than the opposition. When trouble comes, our determination should be stronger than the opposition. A heart that is steadfastly minded to do the Lord's will regardless of the situation at hand will always win the day. The secret lies in what has our attention. You know, Elijah became discouraged when he saw what Jezebel was up to. He wasn't discouraged up until that time. He had just won a great victory on Mount Carmel. Victory over the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. And then he saw what Jezebel was up to. He became discouraged. It is enough, Lord, take away my life. Peter became discouraged when he saw the storm. But if we determine to keep our eyes off the storm and on the Savior, then we won't be discouraged. It will go a long way to securing the victory in our lives. So what is it that we are watching? See, that's the key. What we are watching determines whether we are going to be encouraged or discouraged. I think we need to be more determined to succeed for the glory of God than we are to fail. So be determined. The best defense is a good offense. And number three, some things are worth fighting for. Some things are worth fighting for. There was much at stake for these people. They were fighting for more than their lives, and so are we. What are some things worth fighting for? Well, our faith is worth fighting for. The enemies did not want them to sacrifice to the Lord. They did not want them to engage in worship. There are a lot of people today that don't like the old-time way of worship and praising the Lord. They're opposed to modern, or they're opposed to old-fashioned preaching and old-fashioned shouting and Pentecost and a vibrant worship to the Lord. And I'm here to tell you tonight that our faith is worth fighting for. Jude tells us that we are to defend the faith. And God is still looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants us to be ready to fight for our right to worship Him His way. And I wonder, are we allowing the enemy to silence our praise and empty our altars and extinguish our testimony? We need to fight him. And if we have lost anything, we need to recover it. Our faith is worth fighting for. Secondly, our families are worth fighting for. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses, he tells us in verse 14. Nehemiah reminds them that they are fighting for their families as well. If they didn't take a stand, then their families would perish at the hand of the enemy. And when it's talking about family here, I think we need to consider the whole church family. We are fighting for one another. And if we see a brother or a sister coming under attack from the enemy, we need to join them in the fight. We need to hold them up and we need to help them do battle. We are not to attack our wounded, but we are to love them and humbly restore them to their place in the battle. Sadly, many write somebody off after one failure. I'm glad God doesn't do that. If we fail, He gives us another chance. Let's be willing to give each other another chance. And then our future is worth fighting for. Nehemiah knew that if they caved into the enemy now, the battle was over forever. They would never have life in Jerusalem again. There would be no temple to worship God in that city. And so Nehemiah knew that the time to stand, the time to fight, was right now. God wants us to be in the building business. I wonder, what could the Lord do if we all determined that we would be all that He has called us to be? What could He accomplish if His church took a stand for the things of God and refused to back down? What could He do if we determined to revive and protect old-fashioned worship? What could He do if we were all the way His? He took a determined Martin Luther and sparked the Protestant Reformation. He took a determined D.L. Moody and shook two continents. He took a ragtag group of disciples and turned the world upside down. What could He do with us? The possibilities are limitless. Are you determined tonight? Are you determined to be what God wants you to be and allow Him to do in your life what He wants to do? That is the truth that you need to know. And by faith, you can reach out and say, Lord, I will be all that You want me to be, and I'll do all that You want me to do for Your kingdom and for Your glory. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening. You committed to being a wall builder. Now you need to know that because of trouble, you need to go on the offensive. You need to be prayerful. You need to be alert. You need to be prepared. You need to be united. You need to be determined. And you need to fight for all that you're worth. For your faith, for your families, for your future. How many tonight would say, Lord, I purpose to be on the offensive, and I have decided that I am going to be determined, and I will be even stubborn about coming out of this thing on the winning side. I'm going to be aware of that which I am seeing. And I'm going to look for things that encourage me rather than discourage me. If that's your desire tonight, could you raise your hand to the Lord? Amen. Amen. Lord, tonight, we just humbly come before You, realizing that we are involved in a fight and we need to be on the offensive. First of all, tonight, Lord, we take upon ourselves the whole armor that You offer us. And we go out in that armor, and we have determined tonight that we will build walls, and we will stay on the wall until they are finished, and we have won. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to only look upon that which you would have us to look upon. Help us to look to you and not see the threats of others. Not allow the discouragement of others to bring us down, but rather, Lord, we would be used to encourage them up to our level. Lord, we are determined to succeed for your glory. And I pray tonight, maybe above everything else, that we would be able to walk together in unity. Lord, that we would all be in harmony with you and thereby with each other. And I pray tonight, Lord, that if there is somebody here that is at discord with you, in disharmony with you, Lord, that you would bring them to a place tonight where they realize that and they get right with you and they are in tune with you, so that together this church could have your mind to accomplish what you want with this church. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.